Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
All right, welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook as well. We are presented today by SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell tickets online or on your phone. You remember to use the promo code LOBULLS to get $20 back on your first purchase through SeatGeek. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. So, Cody, there hasn't really been much hard Bulls news lately, but there's been some hard Windy City Bulls news.
That's true. Last week, we had the expansion D-League draft. Three new teams, of which the Windy City Bulls were one, got to select the rights to 12 players to bring into their D-League program. To be clear, this does not mean the Bulls have 12 players who will be suiting up yet for them come November, because as the D-League works, players, if they get better opportunities in the NBA, overseas, anywhere else they want, they can take those better opportunities. But the Bulls did hold rights to 12 new guys. Wesley Saunders, their first-round draft pick out of Harvard from the Austin Spurs. I'll read off some of these names, Sean.
Okay.
I would love for you to chime in at the end how many you actually know or had heard of, because I hadn't heard of maybe half of them or so. But round two, it keeps going. Kiwi Gardner, okay. Ralph Sampson, Booker Woodfox, Jarrell McNeil, Akeem Richmond, Casey Prather, John Octius, Justin Dentman, Jamal Jones, Xavier Thames, and Ian Chiles. So, 12 names. Recognize any of them?
I recognize three of them.
Three of them? I recognized Ralph Sampson, Jarrell McNeil right away.
It's Ralph Sampson the third.
Yes, the third.
That means he's related to Ralph Sampson, the 1980s Houston Rockets legend. That's the only thing I know about.
Who was part of the kind of the Twin Tower lineup there with Hakeem Olajuwon.
And Hakeem Olajuwon, of course, drafted the same year as Michael Jordan, so there's a Bulls connection.
There you go. I think that was even back when he was Hakeem Olajuwon, not Hakeem.
That is true. And the Rockets with Hakeem, but without Ralph Sampson, won the title the 2 years that Jordan retired to play baseball. So there's some Bulls connection.
There you go. I mean, you're just coming up with all of them. I'd heard of Justin Dentman a little bit from Washington.
Sure.
Casey Prather, some of those names. But Kiwi Gardner's agent, I believe, through the Twitterverse and some reporting,
D-League Digest
reported that he is expected to play for the D-League Bulls, so I guess he might be the first player they have. We know nothing about him. I don't know when we will find anything out about him either, but it's good that there's some movement on that home front. I hope we get more names in the coming weeks, too, of guys actually going to play for the D-League Bulls.
The thing is, I don't think that's going to happen until the end of October, because the D-League has their draft, like the regular D-League draft, not the expansion draft, and that happens around training camp, which is like at the end of October, around the time the NBA regular season begins. So,
and all these guys want to kind of bust their tail too and try to make a roster elsewhere if they can,
right? And just to be clear, the guys that the Bulls got in this expansion draft are not necessarily going to be on the D-League team, because I know I saw the pool of players from the D-League expansion draft, and like Seth Curry was in there, and Seth Curry has a guaranteed contract with the Mavericks this year.
Sure. So the other thing is, I mean, usually we get a lot of obscure names during training camp. They can bring on several extra players. I don't know if it's like four or five extra guys, just bodies for
20
for training camp. Yeah. And so maybe some of those guys, you might see them fit in there, maybe not. We'll have to see how that goes. I mean, this is kind of a totally new world for the Bulls, as far as how they want to use the Windy City Bulls in this D-League operation. I mean, some of the best teams, obviously, and in best systems, you want to use kind of the same sets and just ideas and mold these guys, even if it's just one or two who end up at some point maybe contributing for you. But I'll be interested, I think, come media day at the start of training camp there in late September, just what the Bulls' plan is exactly for that. I mean, do you think there's any angle they should be going for as far as how to run that system? Or is it just player development is probably the biggest thing? Just make that talent better and try to get them up to your team.
Well, player development, and then also just the other thing is, and this is something that the team has talked about and that other teams who have their own have had their own D-League teams for a while have talked about before, and that's just getting some of these guys reps. If somebody like, let's say, Paul Zipser, the second round pick, or
Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe.
Spencer Dinwiddie, sure. Just somebody like that who's not maybe getting a lot of minutes with the Bulls. What they can do is, on an off day, if the D-League team is playing on an off day, since the D-League team is going to be in Hoffman Estates, which is a suburb, so it's basically almost in the city, they can just send them there on an off day to play in the game, get some reps, and then call them back up the next day so that they're with the team in case there's an injury or something, and then they can play in the NBA.
You can get those 2 days in, you know. You can have that 10, 11 a.m. practice at the Advocate Center, ship them off there in the afternoon for the night game. I think the Bulls would have done that with Bobby Portis on a few occasions last year if they could have.
Right, if they'd have had an actual D-League affiliate that wasn't like what they did, because like last year they sent Cam Bairstow, I believe, down to the
Texas
D-League.
Somewhere.
And it was just since they didn't have their own D-League team, they had to, whichever team had spots on their roster, they would just assign them, and it was just kind of a weird system. So I mean, I think it's definitely a good thing that the Bulls are getting their own D-League affiliate team finally, and I believe we're only down to 8 teams that don't have their own D-League team.
Yeah, something like that. It's 2022 in the NBA that do, I think, now have those teams. And, of course, we're still waiting on who might coach some of these players for the Windy City Bulls. There's been plenty of Twitter speculation. Nothing for certain yet. We'll let you know when anything's official or the Bulls zero in on that. But, yeah, they're about a couple months away from the season, so they need to get a coach at some point for that team. So we'll keep an eye on that. As far as other hard Bulls news, not a lot. It's the kind of NBA offseason downtime here. But Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose did surface together, the reunion.
With PJ.
Explain, Sean.
So yeah, so Jimmy Butler posted on Instagram over the weekend, the caption was, three cats at the Cubs-Dodgers game.
In LA.
It was a picture, yes, because Derek works out in LA in the offseason. Jimmy works out in LA in the offseason. Yeah. And so Jimmy posted a picture of the two of them and Rose's son, PJ, together at the Cubs-Dodgers game.
And PJ still is cute and as much of a star as ever. He's he's kind of becoming a brand himself, really.
Well, he's been a brand. They've got the PJ shirts, the PJ socks. Derek was wearing them at various points last season.
That was always classic when he would wear the shirts with PJ's face on it. Always made me chuckle. And he might have worn that too at a podium, I think, in the playoffs. Isn't that kind of when it went mainstream?
Well, no, it went
mainstream. When he brought PJ up there?
He brought PJ up there, and PJ was, like, making that face where he looked like he was mad about something. That was the picture that kind of went viral. This was the 2015 playoffs, so this was kind of the same time frame that Riley Curry started to really enter the national consciousness of mainstream America. And so it was kind of this trend of like these players bringing their kids up to the game. And this was that game after Derek hit the game winner against the Cavs second round series. So, I mean, there was all that hand wringing about, you know, whether the players should be bringing their kids up, but it was like Derek just hit a game winner. It wasn't like he was bringing him up there to avoid answering tough questions. But so that picture of PJ with the look on his face kind of went viral. And then at one point during the next season, after a game, and I remember this because I was the first one to tweet the picture of Derek wearing this, and I don't think I've ever gotten as many retweets on a tweet as that picture of Derek wearing the shirt with like the image of that PJ face.
Like PJ's mean mug.
Yes,
down in there.
Exactly.
You got to give the people what they want, and that's certainly sometimes what they want. I mean, they want PJ photos. That's what you got to have.
But I thought it was also just interesting that Derek and Jimmy posted this picture of them hanging out. And, like, the thing is, they're not teammates anymore, so it's not like they have to pretend. Like, if they genuinely didn't like each other or anything like that, which I always thought was kind of overblown, we've talked about this before, they were not a great fit together on the court. They never really meshed. But
they didn't have a disdain off the
no,
court
I
for
always,
each other. They're just on the team, and they didn't hang out much, if ever.
But
the thing is,
Derek doesn't really hang out with any of his teammates. He's friends with like two guys in the league, and then he has his other friends that he hangs out with. I don't think that's because he doesn't like Jimmy. Derek just isn't like that. He doesn't like friends with guys off the court on the team. He just kind of goes and does his own thing. And Jimmy is actually sort of the same way in his own right, but I always thought that the idea that they didn't like each other or they didn't get along was kind of overblown. And I think it's kind of interesting that they posted this picture now. Now that they're not teammates, they don't have to put up appearances. They could just not see each other if they genuinely just didn't like each other and didn't want to see each other, and nobody would say anything because they're not on the same team anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a tight-knit community. A lot of NBA circles as far as the players go. I mean, we've seen that in the Olympics for so long. That's a reason that I think a lot of Bulls fans were excited that Jimmy got to go to the Olympics, hang out with some influential players throughout the NBA. But of course, Jimmy and Derek, Sean, they never have problems getting tickets to Cubs-Dodgers games in LA or anywhere else. But some of us, we might have that problem.
That's right, and for those of us who do, I have a solution for you. It's called SeatGeek. It is the best way to buy and sell tickets on your phone or on the mobile app, on the SeatGeek mobile app. They rank every ticket with a deal score, which is a rating of 1 through 100, whether a ticket price is below or above market value, so you know whether you're getting a good deal. They pull tickets from all the other ticket sites just to make sure you're getting all of them in one place. And my favorite thing they do, I've bought things on SeatGeek before, that I highly recommend them, but my favorite thing that they do is a lot of these other ticket sites, you see a ticket and you think, oh, that looks like a pretty good price, and then you go check out, and they tack $30 or $40 onto the end and just hidden fees and processing fees and service charges and convenience charges. SeatGeek does not do that. SeatGeek shows you the entire price of the ticket up front. You will always, from the beginning to the end of the process, you will see exactly how much money you're going to pay. So SeatGeek is basically designed to make your life as easy as possible when you're buying tickets. And at best of all, if you are a listener of Locked On Bulls, go on SeatGeek.com or download the SeatGeek app and put in the promo code LOBULLS, L-O-B-U-L-L-S. And when you make your first purchase on SeatGeek of any sporting event, concert ticket, whatever you want to buy tickets for, you will get a $20 rebate back.
I wanted to round back, Sean, to an experience you had over the weekend.
Yeah.
On Friday night. You attended, I believe it was at the Quest Multiplex Center.
Yes, and it was a free event open to the public, so I didn't have to go on SeatGeek to buy my tickets, but it was a free event that was put on by Jabari Parker, who is a Chicago native and plays, obviously, for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was the day after Jabari, among other people, including Rajon Rondo and Jolinda Wade, mother of Dwayne Wade, and Rob Smith, the coach at Simeon, who was Jabari's coach and also Derrick Rose's coach back in high school, they did this panel on ESPN that was presented by The Undefeated about kind of athletes and social responsibility and gun violence. It was very well put together. If you can find it online, I'm not sure if it's re-aired. I'm sure you can find it online on ESPN somewhere. It was extremely well done, the whole thing. But the next day, Jabari put together this pickup game that was just kind of about raising awareness about, you know, preventing gun violence in inner cities. You know, obviously there's been a huge problem with that lately in Chicago, and it was a really cool event, and a lot of NBA guys with Chicago ties came through. It was Cliff Alexander was there just jacking threes, which was great. Patrick Beverley, another Chicago guy and on-court rival and current friend of Derrick Rose. Yeah. He was there. Shannon Brown, a former NBA dunk contest participant and NBA champion with the Lakers, was there. The recently retired Sean Marion was playing some old man game lockdown perimeter defense, which was awesome to watch. Like, if you ever get a chance to watch Sean Marion playing defense in a pickup game setting post-retirement, I highly recommend it.
And this is kind of just a continuation of Jabari, what's been an outspoken off-season for him, just getting involved in the social climate and all the social issues.
He wrote that.
He had the piece for the Players Tribune that he wrote, very well done, where he preached against anti-violence initiatives. He preached the key to that is education.
Yes.
It was a big kind of theme for him, and just giving kids hope, because I think it was a history class where he cited in high school history teacher coming when he was coming up through the school system made a big difference in his life and just kind of opened his eyes a little bit more to the greater world. So that's kind of his angle, and there's many, many layers and issues to this, but that's kind of what he suggested, and then he continued that on the Undefeated special on the social issues on Thursday night, like you mentioned. And he was very well put together, very well thought out, and you can tell he's buying in this research. But I mean, Did anything stand out to you on Friday night as far as how Jabari approached it or anything people said or just, I mean, what was the climate? We know a shadow was cast over this too on Friday night.
That's kind of the tragedy thing during this event, you know, between, because they had a high school all-star scrimmage game before the one with the NBA players and kind of between the two games. The news broke, the tragic news that Nikia Aldridge, the cousin of Dwayne Wade, who's a mother of four, was killed on the south side of Chicago. And from what we can tell from various police reports and from various accounts, she was not the target of it was a gang-related thing that the people were trying to attack the man that she was walking with. She was pushing her baby stroller, and she just caught a stray bullet and was killed, and it was horrific. It was tragic. She had four kids, as Dwayne Wade tweeted later that night. It was just, I mean, it's awful, and it's the kind of thing that happens way too often in Chicago.
Yeah, and it came a day after Dwayne Wade was one of them that stepped up on Thursday night. He wasn't a part of the panel live, I don't think, but he had a recorded segment or was offside, right. I believe, speaking out. And I know when Dwayne Wade, his Bulls introductory press conference, he was asked about what he could do to make a difference, and just kind of continuing some of those endeavors that he started in Miami a little bit, and he wants to effect more change in Chicago, his hometown. And he said, you know, he's kind of putting a plan together. And he's a guy out there that, as we've talked about, I mean, he just has such a presence to him in any regard that he's a guy you can get behind. But I mean, it's heartbreaking. Every single one of those deaths is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It comes in a different manner though when you tie it in to someone like Dwayne Wade like that. It naturally gets more attention, you know? And he pointed out too, like, all of these break his heart, and his cousin as well. But it's just one of those things where it's such an uphill battle, and it just kind of brings it back into your consciousness once again.
And it just kind of hammers home the point that even if you're somebody like Dwayne Wade with the money and the celebrity that he has, you're not immune to these kinds of things happening to you and to your family. Because, you know, Dwayne Wade, the fact that this woman was Dwayne Wade's cousin is not going to protect her.
No.
And it's just every single thing about this is just so horrible, and it's so heartbreaking, and you just,
yeah. I mean. And Dwayne, of course, was part of the quartet along with Chris Paul, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, who spoke out too at the ESPYs.
Yeah.
So he's certainly getting out there and putting the public face on of trying to cause change. But again, such a long uphill battle. So many things that, I mean, none of us can solve overnight. We're not experts. No one is. But that is something that's gaining more traction as this goes on, and that event you were at kind of proves that once again.
And I thought it was
as well.
I thought it was a really, obviously, besides what happened also in Chicago that kind of, like you said, cast a shadow over it. I thought, other than that, it was a really positive event. And, you know, there were a lot of kids there, kind of bust in from some of these schools, mm-hmm. that were just there to watch, and they just got so excited because
they love,
I mean,
the NBA guys.
As you can imagine. There was not, I mean, except for Sean Marion playing this lockdown defense, there was not a lot of defense being played. And so it kind of turned into a just kind of dunk exhibition, like these pickup
games.
Like
an all-star game?
Sure. And so, you know, you get, you know, these kids who've maybe never been to an NBA game before got to see Jabari Parker do like a windmill dunk or a through-the-legs dunk. There were some pretty sick dunks. And you could just tell these kids were so excited about it. And it was just such a great event. And I have to imagine Jabari and other Chicago NBA guys are going to be putting on more of these.
Yeah, was it a packed house?
It wasn't, but I think part of that was just because he announced it literally less than 24 hours before the actual event. So there wasn't like people had time to get ready, and it was a Friday night, so people probably made other plans. But there was a decent sized turnout. It was a lot of local high school basketball luminaries. Rob Smith was there, the Simeon coach. Just a lot of people there just kind of wanted to be there, wanted to be a part of it, wanted to make a difference, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, and turning back the basketball court with the Bulls a little bit.
Yeah.
A little more defense will be played this upcoming NBA season by the Bulls. The Bulls hope they play a lot better defense than anything you'd see in an exhibition. A lot better than they played last year.
Right.
And on that note, Zach Harper of CBSSports.com, really smart writer, wrote about rim protectors in the NBA for this upcoming season. Good off-season topic. you know, cast a wide net.
Yeah, if you haven't read this piece yet, you should really check it out. It goes really deep. It goes into every single team, how they did in terms of rim protection. It looks at a lot of different stats. It wasn't just based on blocked shots, which is just kind of the surface level counting stat that measures rim protection, but it also looked at stuff like, you know, percentage of shots for the opponent shot at the rim, when this player was on the court or off the court. It goes into a lot of stuff. It's a really thoughtful piece, and it goes through all 30 teams.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is going to make Bulls fans cringe a little bit, I think.
Okay.
But Pau Gasol actually saved more points per 36 minutes with the rim protection part of this.
This is just rim protection.
Than Robin Lopez did last year for the Knicks.
The thing Powell is, this is an overall defense. Yes. This is literally just rim protection.
Yes, this is Powell saved about 1.9 points per 36 minutes. Robin Lopez had good numbers on that too, about 1.3 points per 36 minutes saved. And again, I know I said that's going to make you cringe because you're immediately going to cite Pau Gasol's pick and roll defense, which you immediately should, and that's a fair right. But we do forget sometimes that, like, Pau was good when he was right at the rim because he was tall, and I mean, he's a smart basketball player, and he's very skilled. I mean, even when it comes to blocking shots, I mean, he's among the NBA leaders the last couple of years, but he just didn't move laterally well or put in a lot of effort out there by the perimeter. So the takeaway is that you'd be surprised by Pau Gasol's rim protection last year for the Bulls, and that Robin Lopez also did a pretty good job for the Knicks. The Knicks actually allowed about 3% fewer attempts in the paint when Robin Lopez was on the floor. So a little bit of a deterrent, which the Bulls would obviously like to see. We know a staple of the Thibodeau era was make them shoot long jump shots in two-point range, not three-pointers or anything in the paint. I think every NBA team, Sean, probably aims to do that. We'll see how much the Bulls can do that this season. Moral of the story, though, Bulls are in pretty good hands with defense right at center, but it's a team game. Continuity. A lot of what Lopez does is going to depend on whether Rondo, Wade, everyone on the perimeter flanking him can stop ball penetration. But I don't know. Do you make anything of this?
Yeah, I mean, the team's defense. I mean, Robin Lopez is a pretty good rim protector. I mean, the really telling thing, just in terms of their overall defense, is that the Bulls' defensive performance last year fell off a cliff after Joakim Noah had the shoulder injury. And so, you know, he was their best defender. I mean, the Pau rim protection stuff is kind of interesting, and I guess in that one specific facet of defense, he's not a minus. But overall, his defense was pretty terrible last year, as anybody who watched the Bulls could tell. But as far as the whole team defense, obviously Jimmy Butler is an elite defender on the perimeter. He's one of the best in the league, and Taj Gibson is a pretty solid defender up front. He's versatile. He can guard multiple positions. But other than that, like, this is not a very good defensive team.
I wonder if Jimmy he's an elite defender when he's engaged and wants to, and he does a lot of nights, but he also, on several occasions last year, throughout the season, not just early, not just late, not just in the middle, he referenced that he had to do a better job as a two-way player and was disappointed at times in his defense. And I wonder if having Dwayne Wade can help him in that regard, because maybe he doesn't feel like he has to carry so much of a burden offensively, even though he still figures to be the team's leading scorer, best player. Maybe that playmaking duty with Wade and Rondo in there allows Jimmy to take a little bit more of a rest or catch his breath on offense and re-engage big time defensively. And that brings the question, is that good for the Bulls if that's kind of the approach they do? Because I think that could be beneficial for them. Because to have an elite defender on the perimeter and an anchor at center, that's at least a good start for your defense. And like you said, Taj Gibson's a quality defender. Even if he comes off the bench, he can still be a difference maker defensively and stretches with those guys. And a lot of that has to do with how Hoiberg will play out his rotation and everything. But if Jimmy's elite defensively, then the Bulls have a foundation. But if Jimmy's just kind of shrugging his shoulders and going, eh, the Bulls could be really, really bad on the perimeter.
Yeah, and I think the point about Wade taking some of that pressure off of Jimmy on the offensive end is a good one, because, you know, Wade is a guy where, you know, when he plays, obviously they're going to be a little bit more, you know, diligent about managing his minutes and about not overextending him during the regular season because he's 34 and he has a history of knee injuries. But, you know, he's a guy that when he's on, he's still a phenomenal offensive player. And so he used to be a pretty good defender. He maybe isn't so much anymore, but again, that's just because of an age thing. You know, for the Bulls to be successful, they need to have Jimmy Butler's impact on the defensive end as much as possible, and I think he's really the only guard that they have. Rondo used to be a great point guard defender before the ACL injury, but he really hasn't been that for several years.
Yeah, so we'll just have to keep an eye on that. It'll be one of many storylines, I think. I think we always say that, but like the Bulls are just going to have storylines out the wazoo this year, it feels like, you know what I mean? From Fred Hoiberg's maturation in his second year as coach to Dwayne Wade, Rondo, Jimmy trying to take that step, all the three alpha stuff. Can they get back to a better level defensively? A lot of things to follow. We'll keep
following.
By
the way, Stefan Noe at The Athletic had a really interesting piece today about what the Bulls are going to do at their starting power forward, which I thought was interesting. He had some good defensive numbers and kind of a case for why Taj Gibson maybe should get the nod, but as we've talked about on here before, in terms of what Fred Hoiberg is actually going to do, I'd be very surprised if Mirotić didn't get the spot just because they need shooting.
Yeah, I don't see how that system works very well without at least one three-point shooter out there on the floor to take the brunt of just kind of stretching the defense from side to side. And as we talked about before, Nico had a pretty good Olympic stretch, save for one or two games, and kind of flashed that, so the Bulls are hoping that can continue into the season and just be a launching point of sorts. But we'll keep you up to date on as much Bulls news as we can. We'll try to track that D-League roster here over the next month or so. And we may or may not have a complete breakdown at some point on all the Windy City Bulls players. Please do keep the questions coming to Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com for any email inquiries, send them there.
Like us on Facebook as well. We only have like 36 likes on our Facebook page.
Yeah,
like
to get triple digits.
Yeah, let's get some Facebook likes going. We read our messages on there. We will respond to as many questions as we can on the podcast. And as always, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. The 5-star review is crucial. You can also get us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, and Google Play. Just basically anywhere you can get podcasts, you can get Locked On Bulls. And thanks once again to SeatGeek for sponsoring today's episode. Remember, if you use the promo code LOBULLS, you can get a $20 rebate back on your first purchase with SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell tickets online or on your phone. We will be back with you later this week or next week. We'll be back with you soon.